The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange generates high-quality leads at scale, helping you find your next ideal customer. Episode 1, recorded live at Advertising Week New York, features Shafkat Islam, CMO of Optimizely, in conversation with Justin Cook, chairman of Demand Exchange.
Good afternoon and welcome to Shafkat Islam, the CMO of Optimizely. Welcome to Advertising New York. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and you pronounced my name perfectly.
I try. So, listen, first of all, just give everybody a little bit of a snapshot of your very, very interesting background.
Sure. So let's start at the beginning of like how I even ended up at Optimizely. I started a company called NewsCred about 12 years ago. We were one of the first content marketing companies. We had a content services business, and then we had a content marketing platform, like a software that we wrapped around the services to help content marketers collaborate, create content, etc. Ran that for about 10 years, took on a lot of venture funding. We raised about $100 million, probably too much in hindsight, but ended up with a roller coaster, but then a good outcome. So we sold the services business during COVID, and then rebranded to Welcome, and we thought we would kind of double down on the content marketing platform, but literally felt like 5 minutes after we rebranded, Optimizely came calling and convinced us that we could grow even faster as part of the broader Optimizely portfolio and team. So they acquired us about 2 years ago. I ran the Welcome business within Opti for a while. And about a year ago, my CEO, Alex, came to me and said, "Hey, Shaf, what do you think about running marketing?" And, you know, I told him, "Well, I've never had any marketing job before." And he was crazy enough to say, "Okay, it doesn't matter. Let's give it a shot."
And here you are, CMO of Optimizely, talking about the business of marketing. So on that basis, tell us very quickly, Optimizely, why do you exist, and what problems do you solve?
Yeah, so at Optimizely, we have a couple core beliefs. I'll start with that. One is that content is the connective tissue of all marketing, and we really believe that your digital experience is your most important product as a company. And so the way we execute on these beliefs is we're building what we call the operating system for marketing. Think about the entire marketing lifecycle from ideating, planning, and creating content. That's our CMP product, to being able to publish that content onto a website. So we have a CMS product. That once content's on a CMS, you may want to personalize it. You may want to do testing on it, A/B testing. We have an experimentation product. So it's really that end-to-end lifecycle of marketing that we power through unified workflow and you know, a series of products that came together, some built in-house, some built through acquisitions, including Welcome.
And who are some of the brands you work with?
The biggest companies in the world actually run on Optimizely, and a lot of them run across this portfolio of products, so the entire marketing lifecycle. So some of them are, you know, GE Healthcare. They do the CMP part where they ideate, plan, and create content. They do all the experimentation. We have Nike that runs all their A/B testing. IKEA is one. Unisys. So we have a lot of large enterprise customers that are kind of using a broad swath of our portfolio of products. But we also have smaller growth kind of mid-market companies that may just use us for A/B testing, or they just need a CMS. So you could get started small, but kind of our flagship customers are using our entire product portfolio, which we refer to as Optimizely One.
And just talking about that sort of OS and perhaps just applying that to your own practice, what are some of the fundamental concepts and approaches to marketing that you employ?
The biggest fundamental maybe change that I deployed once I took over marketing is test everything and start with a blank slate and then test everything. So it's probably one level higher answer than you were expecting, but maybe we can just start there, because, you know, when I took over, I remember I had this meeting with my marketing team. I sat all of them down. There was 120 of them. And I said, "Hey, I have a hunch that if we stopped doing all of our marketing, nothing would change. Like, we'd still generate the same pipe and we'd still get the same sales." And I think some people were kind of stunned or insulted, but for a lot of people, this was a freeing, liberating thought. Because I said, let's wipe the slate clean and let's try and experiment. Nothing is too crazy, but we're going to measure everything and we're going to be ruthless about being efficient, about knowing where we spend dollars, measuring the cost per MQL, cost per op. So we changed kind of the mindset to become a lot more data-driven and accountable. But what that allowed was more experimentation, which to me unleashes creativity, right? So those were some of like the principles that we used to reset kind of our marketing organization.
And then using those principles, how did you then apply them?
Yeah, so the first thing we did was figure out demand. So, you know, we talk a lot about how brand and demand, they're equally important, even though I'm super data-driven guy and everything's measured. You know, people think, oh, you're just a demand guy. I think they're both important, but we had to figure out demand first. So we started measuring, and some of this may sound basic to people, but we started measuring cost per MQL and cost per op for every single channel, every single program, every campaign, every webinar, every event. And we measured that and compared it to our target. So we knew at the beginning of the year, you know, we need to generate this much bookings, which requires this much pipeline, and given these conversion rates, requires this many ops, and this is our marketing dollars that we have to play with. So we had a target, you know, cost per op. And then we just measured every single channel and every activity against that cost per op. And that just created a whole new culture. So anytime someone came to me and said, hey, Shaf, we want to do this event or this webinar or this campaign, or I have a new idea for a series, or I want to do a podcast, all I said was, sure, let's try it. If you can beat the cost per op target, we'll do it forever and we'll pour money into it. And if you can't, it's not a failure, it's a learning, and we'll try something else.
Tell me some of the successes and some of the failures as you went through that process.
Yeah, a lot of early failures, or at least a lot of learnings. You know, give you an example. We were doing a ton of webinars, and webinars during COVID worked fine because people are home, they have nothing else to do, they were bored, they couldn't socialize. And so, but we just, there's like this lethargy in marketing where you just keep doing the things that you think you need to be doing, and everyone thinks they need to be doing webinars. And we just looked at the effort relative to the audience that we were getting and how many people would show up, and it was terrible. It might, sometimes it wouldn't show up in the cost model or the ROI model because the webinars were theoretically free because they were in-house webinars, but nothing's free, right? It takes time, effort, energy, opportunity costs. But if you factor those in, they were not doing well. So we then said, okay, let's look at who actually has audience versus us begging people to show up to ours. Figure out like which personas we want to target, where do they hang out, where do they spend time. As an example, we really wanted to grow our CMP business, so we wanted to find the content marketing persona. We realized Content Marketing Institute is this huge event, but also platform and publication. And we said, why, instead of banging our heads against the wall trying to get people to our webinar and we get 30 people show up, let's use their audience. And we had 300 people, 500 people show up, right? Just basic things like that where, you know, using common sense, I think, around you know, events. We had a lot of smaller events that weren't working, and we said, let's do fewer events but go much bigger, so it's both a brand and a demand play. That really worked for us. And a big piece, honestly, is also just consistency across all of these campaigns and activities and events. One thing we realized is we weren't showing up in a consistent way, and that's not just from a brand standpoint, but even themes, pain points that a persona has, messaging, how do we address those pain points? How do we talk about the problem space? How do we talk about our solution? Like, we have experimentation solutions. Are we helping, you know, product teams build mobile products better and faster? That's one message. It's very different than like A/B test your website if you're a digital team. Like, so just building habit around showing up consistently across all of these channels, across all of these activities, was also a big learning for us, where we tested a lot of messaging that initially some of it didn't work, but then we iterated our way to kind of success.
And how do you wrap that brand around that demand?
I think the lines between brand and demand are very blurry. You know, at Optimizely, we generate about half of our pipeline from inbound. And a lot of that are people fill out a contact us form. But they're not just like searching for a lower funnel pain and then come to our website and fill out a contact us form. They may have had an entire journey with us that yields a contact us form, but really it's because we have a strong brand that we invested in and cultivated over long periods of time. And, you know, the events that we do are both brand and demand plays. So, you know, we have this mantra, do fewer things better. When we show up to an event, we show up big, big presence, big booth, big activation. Everyone will leave an event knowing who we are. And we measure, obviously, all the pipeline that we generate, but also the brand impact of an event like that can't be underestimated. So I really like marketing ideas that can couple both brand and demand together. Those are my favorites. Content is a good example, by the way.
Go for
it. Content, I think, super high quality content. Obviously, you have to set the bar very high, and we can talk about how we do that. But that kind of content generates demand because people read the content, share it, often will go on an entire journey. They may read 5 pieces of content and thought leadership deeper and deeper into the funnel and eventually fill out a form. Then we can track all of that. But also, it builds brand. People are like, you know, shit, this is a smart company. Like, who are these guys? They seem to know what they're talking about. They're experts, and I want to partner with them. I want to learn from them. I think those are the companies that you admire. And so, you know, content's a great opportunity to build both brand and demand.
I love it. Now, Tom, let's do that. Let's talk about it now. So you wealth of data. How do you go about then harnessing that, turning it into insight, and then turning that insight into great content?
Yeah, our advantage is we're a testing company, so we have a lot of testing DNA. I think a lot of people, when they think about A-B testing, they think about their website as the place to do A-B testing, right? Oh, let me test this button, the placement of a CTA, a landing page. But what we realize is actually you can experiment and test content, right? And you can test everything about the content, not just the headline, but you can test the tone, the language you use, the themes, the topics that you talk about, how you put it together, the length, the format. I mean, you can test everything. We even test content before we create it. Like, we do painted door tests where we may have just like the headline and we haven't even written the content, and we just see if people click on it. And if, you know, enough people click on it, sure, it's annoying for maybe 10 or 20 people, but then we save ourselves potentially, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, because the content that we do invest in is proven to us through science that it's going to work. And then we put in a lot of money and effort to create like big rock pieces of content. So like, testing on content is number one, big part of our culture. And then just setting the bar really high. I think the amount of content out there that any given persona of ours can consume is far outweighed by the amount that you can consume is outweighed by the amount of available content, right? So to get to cut through, you just have to be really unique, really special, really differentiated. You have to be really smart. So we try and set the bar really high. We don't always succeed, but that's aspirational at least.
And how do you map that to the actual journey itself?
Yeah, well, everything starts with having really clear definition of persona. So who are we even writing this for? Really understanding who they are, what their pains, needs, wants, desires, what they're looking for, what kind of themes and topics they may be researching. So we start there. And then what we do is we map out the journey, like probably a lot of companies do. The digital journey especially, we try to personalize everything. So like, when you arrive at our site, depending on what industry you're in or what persona you are or what content you've consumed prior, we'll try and personalize a journey for you. Now, we don't necessarily do one-to-one like individualization. We found that effort is too high and maybe the ROI is not worth it, but certainly at a persona level or an industry level, we'll create the content and personalize the site to provide them with a journey that they go through. And ultimately, that carries out, by the way, everywhere, not just digital. We use the same persona, same theme, same content. Whether we do an out-of-home campaign, whether it's our booth at an event, like remember I talked about consistency.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, same language that shows up every single time, everywhere.
And when you're looking at this and the performance of it, obviously with that being natively embedded in Optimizely as a testing company, how do you evaluate success? What are the metrics and KPIs you use?
Content itself has some that are kind of intrinsic to the format. Obviously, we'll look at the content engagement, page views, uniques, attention time, how much are they scrolling through. Like I focus much more on engagement than I do like page views or uniques. But that's on the content side. When it comes to actual metrics, I've goaled my entire marketing organization on the goals of the business, and that supersedes any marketing KPI. So our number one goal is sales. Our number two goal is all company pipeline. It used to be number one goal, marketing-generated pipeline. But what I realized is, we have five ways we generate pipe at Optimizely. It's marketing, sales, marketing, sales, CS, SDRs, and partners. Marketing touches everything, and we're spending way too much time on attribution, on credit, and we just said, screw all of that. We're accountable for all pipeline regardless. And so everyone who comes in, whether it's through an SDR or a partner or an AE, should hopefully interact with marketing content, marketing events, marketing campaigns. And so when it comes to all company pipeline or marketing pipeline, we again set goals when it comes to like a cost per MQL and cost per op. Then everyone just is relentless about trying to beat those goals, right? And then we try and make it fun. Everyone comes up with ideas and then we test it. And if you can beat the goal, we'll do it all day long.
And what's been for you a real highlight on that more experimental side of things? What are you kind of most proud of in terms of what's come from the team? What's been some of the nuggets that you got from that?
Yeah, the one thing I didn't realize is being great at experimentation doesn't just mean you're more data-driven, but it actually unlocks creativity because people can come up with new ideas. They can test new content ideas. It really unlocks and unleashes this like creativity that I think all marketers have and want and need. Like, that's why people become marketers, right? And so that was surprising. It also let us test everything from like how we run events and what kinds of events we put on or go to. You know, we did this massive out-of-home campaign. Again, the whole thing was just a test. And the way we did it was like super scrappy, super entrepreneurial. We designed everything in-house and we bought direct and we used tech platform to like put our creative onto New York City taxi cabs and we could change it every day if we needed to. And like, so we were doing like a lot of scrappy things that I think people traditionally would think were expensive or too slow, or you can't commit to all of it because it's such a big investment. But because we took a testing mindset, we did everything for much lower cost.
And partners are key. They're for all of us, right? Tell me about how you are extending this philosophy and this approach to your partners.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of tech partners. That's just software that we buy or software that we use. So we use AdQuick to do all of the out-of-home direct buying. We use like ABM platforms like Sixth Sense and DemandBase. And we use chat on our website. And so those are, I guess, more obvious. We, when it comes to audience, we use partners because we realize some of our partners have a better, more engaged audience that trusts them and has affinity to the content that exists in those partner channels. You know, I gave you the example of Content Marketing Institute, and that just happens to be one. And, it was humbling, but we realized that, we need to go to where our audience is, and other partners may have better audiences than we do, right? And part of it is, as a B2B software company, I think all of us are guilty of maybe saturating our own audiences with emails and offers and newsletters and this, and inviting them to this event and that webinar. And eventually people slowly fade out, tune out. Whereas, you go to a publisher or a publication, like there's a level of inherent trust there that we can tap into by partnering. And so that's been very successful for us.
What I'm really impressed by in this conversation is how you are employing and living and breathing almost Optimizely in the way that Optimizely goes to market. So on that basis, how and what is your relationship with the product team, and how are you impacting the actual Optimizely roadmap itself from a product point of view?
Yeah, I'm very privileged because, you know, my background is product, first of all, so I love product. I'm very deep into product, but we're our number one users. We're probably a pain in the butt to our product team because we have a lot of feedback. We also expect a lot from them. You know, when I want to do personalization, I tell them what, like, my use case is and my pain point is as a marketer, not as someone who works at Optimizely. I say, as a marketer, I need to personalize based on customer data that happens to be living in my CRM in Salesforce. So figure out a way, I tell my product team, figure out a way for me to get that customer data from CRM into my CDP and let me personalize my site. And they might say, well, that's really hard and blah, blah, blah. And that connector doesn't exist. And I just tell them, well, this is a massive pain point, so let's solve this problem. And so that's been really fun. I think for any of us who are marketing for B2B software companies, especially MarTech companies, it's almost, yes, it's a privilege, but it should be an expectation that we all use our products. We use every single product that we have, and we use it aggressively.
I love that. So here we are at Advertising Week New York. It's 2023. We're sitting down here in a year's time. What's around the corner, Shafkat?
Everyone here is going to give you an AI-related answer. So I got to also give you my view on that, and then I'll tell you, like, what we think is the future for Optimizely. But my AI answer, only because I just sat through a session with my content team and I realized how dependent and how much they're using it today. So it's not just a future thing. We use generative AI to generate campaign ideas, taglines, briefs. We create blog posts, first drafts. We create decks, first draft, imagery, first drafts. I say first draft intentionally because we would never put out content generated by AI. But when we do SDR outbound emails, those are in research and written by AI. So we're doing so much of it already. I think it's the tip of the iceberg, and I'm always exploring new use cases within marketing. I tell people, like, yeah, I read this quote on Twitter. I should credit the person. I'll find you, I promise. But it said something like, AI is not going to replace people or jobs, but if you're a person who doesn't use AI, you may be replaced by a person that knows how to use AI. And so I that really stood out to me, and I always just tell myself, you know, as marketers, we should always be pushing the envelope. And then when it comes to kind of the future for Optimizely, that operating system vision, which we call Optimizely One, I think it's going to happen. Every team within the enterprise, whether it's finance, sales, HR, everyone has a system of record. Like, every single day a salesperson walks in, they log into Salesforce, that's where they do their work. Marketers, for some reason, we've been hamstrung with kind of a myriad of tools. We're in 10 different tools. We're constantly switching, context switching. We're still doing, we hire all these creative people and make them work in spreadsheets. Like, it's just terrible. I think there's going to be a day where that entire marketing life cycle, which to me is the content life cycle, is going to be unified, you know, a unified workflow with where you can create the content, ideate, plan, publish it, personalize it, test it, do all of that stuff. And that's what we're building at Optimizely. I think we're pretty far down the path. In fact, we just announced kind of the first unified workflow across the entire cycle, entire life cycle. But to me, that's what I'm excited by. I think marketers need and deserve something like that.
They do indeed. Shaf, thanks so much for your time today.
Of course, that was fun.
The Business of Marketing podcast was brought to you by Demand Exchange, helping you find your next ideal customer